Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Spending a few minutes this morning with Jane Raybould from the City Council. I am so used to saying City Council Chair Jane Raybould, but this past Monday, Jane's term, one-year term as Council Chair expired, and the body then moved up Vice Chair Richard McGinnis to become chair for the next week. So Jane, let's just spend a few minutes looking back at your 1 year on the council. Fair to say that no one else will quite have a year like you had. The coronavirus was there. The city started seeing some lost revenue as a result. Let's look back at your year as council chair. What comes to mind?
You know, it's been wonderful to see all these new council members, you know, develop in their role and responsibility as city council members. You know, we had four new city council members come in last year, and I really think they felt empowered and learned a lot through this entire process. You know, the goal was to really have a fair, responsible, nonpartisan approach to business, and I'm so proud everybody kept truly an open mind. You know, we had to elect and install a new replacement for Lirian as she stepped up to mayor, and we had a wonderful choice of Sandra Washington. We went forward with a number of new issues that were initiated by Councilwoman Tammy Ward, food trucks, or James Michael Bauer stepping in and initiating a lot of the new ordinances that he has introduced, and also working out constituent unhappiness about annexation or development, really getting through some sticky issues like 14th and Old Cheney, Warlick Road, why that's important, and getting beyond the fact that it's not just that one big roundabout, it's seven intersections, three bridges, you know, miles of road improvements, pedestrian crossing enhancements, et cetera. But, you know, we got through these issues not too badly bruised. And, you know, our last issue was really doing the business of city council this past year with the coronavirus, and doing it via video conferencing. You know, two of our colleagues still are very reluctant to participate with video conferencing. You know, the message that the city council wanted to send is that this is certainly not business as usual for any of us, but your city government is open for business in ways that can still protect the public, our staff, and certainly our families and other elected officials. So those were the key items in a nutshell that we got through and are still getting through. And, of course, looming on the horizon is, of course, the budget.
Benny Shobe and Roy Christensen have not participated in virtual meetings. What have they told you? Is there or are there reasons for not?
Well, you know, our city attorney has come out and said that it really isn't authorized, and we are pushing back to our city attorney's recommendation because it is an executive order by the governor. It's executive order 20-03 that has authorized a limited waiver during our declaration of emergency that permits all public bodies in the state to meet by video conferencing, telephone conference call, and other means, just so long as the public and the media are always included and have access, that all the agenda is continuously published, that access to, you know, we've been participating on YouTube and on Facebook, that people can access and participate. We've instituted safeguards to allow people to still come into the chamber should they wish to do that, but exits immediately. You know, there's been so many other executive orders issued by the governor that we didn't push back on. And the amazing thing is that a lot of municipalities throughout the state have embraced this, this executive order to just keep their staff and the public safer. You know, the governor has issued other executive orders like no more than 10 can gather, you know, moratorium on evictions. Bars and restaurants can have carry out of liquor just so long as you put a lid on it. you know, he just recently said youth league baseball can resume. We haven't pushed back on any of those executive orders. And certainly we are not going to be pushing. The city council made a decision. The majority of the city council voted to do video conferencing. And I think I mentioned last month, even the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing cases via the phone this time, just to keep their justices safe, but also the public safer. So that's been the pushback from my colleagues, but we know that other states are doing this as well. Some like Texas, Tennessee, Louisiana, Rhode Island, just to name a few, because we have to. We want to keep business going. We have to work with our developers. We want to assure them that we're pushing your projects through, you know, with an ulterior motive. We need to get this revenue coming into our city, without a doubt. So that's been a kind of some of the background on that one.
City Council Member Jane Raybould joining me. This past Monday, the council unanimously banning profiteering from and price gouging on items during times of emergency. Why is an ordinance like that necessary, Jane?
Well, we see that some of the folks in our community are the most vulnerable to lack of supplies and to keep their families safe. This was an initiative that we're seeing all throughout the United States to make sure that price gouging does not move forward and that people don't become victims of the spending, their limited hard-earned cash on these items that they want to keep their families safer. So, you know, I really applaud Councilman Bowers for taking this on and working with retailers like myself to make sure that it's not impacting retailers, established retailers, when we see the market fluctuation in prices, as we've seen the fluctuation in price for all proteins, for pork and beef and chicken. You know, we're just as vulnerable to those price adjustments. But this is really individuals who are out there hawking these items, the hand sanitizers, you know, toilet paper, other products at exorbitant prices.
Jane, isn't that already illegal, that behavior, that practice?
You know, in the city of Omaha, it is, you know, price scalping for tickets is certainly an ordinance in Omaha, but not in Lincoln. So James Michael wanted to take this initiative to make sure that he wanted to protect some of the most vulnerable people in our city. And I think the vote was 5-0. We unanimously support that, doing everything we can to help those people that could fall prey to these exorbitant pricing scams.
City Council Member Jane Raybould with me. You gave listeners a heads up several months ago, Jane, that the city budget was bound to take a hit because businesses had to close for the coronavirus restrictions. And the numbers shared last week by Mayor Gaylor Bayard reflect that. $13 million shortfall for the rest of this fiscal year, $17 million gap next spending plan, and then it's even higher, $22 million gap in 2021 and 22. Give me your opinion about manageability. How manageable are those numbers?
Well, there's no doubt that those numbers are daunting and challenging, and that's why we're looking at everything we can do right now to stem this enormous deficit that we're seeing, that, you know, hiring freeze, except for critical positions like our first responders, you know, suspending out-of-town travel, you know, looking at can we defer some of the capital spending, finding reductions, and also really looking at the current budget and figuring out how we can continue to cut that budget. I think one silver lining that is important to point out, as dire as the sales tax looks going forward, where we see declines in our parking revenue, Keno funds, gas tax, StarTran, library fines and fees, occupation tax, the good news that, you know, the sales tax for the first 6 months of our fiscal year, starting back in September, were really robust. So that's going to help get us through certainly some of the funding commitments we have made with the quarter cent sales tax on our residential road improvements. But there's no doubt this is going to be an incredibly challenging period as we go forward dealing with the budget, finding ways to really bridge that deficit.
Let's talk about that quarter cent sales tax increase for street repair. What does this do to that estimated $13 million a year?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, you know, the sales tax revenues were coming in rather robustly for the first 6 months. And so we anticipate that for this funding for this year's worth of projects, that will go on and continue as planned. However, you know, looking forward beyond that first year really creates a more uncertain picture on how we can continue to maintain that. I know that some of the capital improvements will be deferred going forward in order to help bridge that gap.
Jane Raybould from the City Council with me on Lincoln Live. To swimming pools, I speak with Lynn Johnson specifically about this later on this week, Jane. But as a council person, was the decision not to open up city outdoor pools this coming weekend a virus decision or a decision based on city revenue shortfall?
I think it has to be looked at as a combination of both. You know, until we understand how the virus is working, we really still have to minimize the number of people that can be gathered in one place in time. And so that certainly weighed heavy on that. And we have to follow the health directives on keeping the public safer. But also, you know, the pools are not the biggest revenue generator in terms of our budget. And of course, there's a tremendous expense in keeping them open and certainly doing extra steps to make sure the public is kept safer. We know that for so many people, it is a tremendous respite when we have soaring temperatures in the summer. So, you know, we will continue to follow the Lincoln-Lancaster County Health Department guidelines. I know Lynn Johnson is following that very closely. You know, maybe we're going to get creative. Maybe you have to make reservations to come and use the public pool and you're allowed to swim for an hour. I'm not sure what the solution is, but I know with golf, they're looking at, you know, making sure you reserve your tee time so that they can control the number of people that are out in the open. So maybe that's a technique that will help keep the public safer while allowing those who need that relief from the heat, the summer heat, to enjoy swimming.
Do you see pools eventually opening up at all?
Maybe select pools, not all the pools in the community. Maybe the strategic pools and neighborhoods that really need that relief from the heat. But I really have to follow Lynn Johnson's guidelines. He's been doing this for so many years, as well as listening to what Pat Lopez, our interim health director, advised us to do. And do the smart, sensible thing.
Quick response from you, Jane. You're in the grocery business. How is that business these days? And what's the latest hoarded item?
Well, as you can imagine, as we see people reduce the amount of time they go out to restaurants or even do carry out, they're staying at home, they're cooking at home. So, you know, we see our sales are really truly robust at this point in time. The things that are being hoarded, as you can imagine, are all the proteins, pork, beef, chicken, and those themselves have seen a spike in pricing based on the limited quantities of these items. And so the meat department, as I've walked through the meat department, I can see that a lot of the products are just gobbled up right away, like the hand sanitizers and toilet paper. And as a grocer, I can tell you we're very fortunate because we have meat cutters that have been with us for, you know, all the 55 years we've been around and in operating. So we have in-house meat cutters so they can break down a side of beef that comes in from the processing plants. Whereas some other people, it's called case ready. Those case ready products are done at a processing plant, they're the next step. And because there is concern about the workforce, keeping them healthy, keeping them safe, we can still offer a number of those pork, beef, and chicken varieties. But that's, you know, that's what we're seeing being hoarded.
Thank you, Jane, very much for committing a year's worth of your time to talking with us every month. You've given me good insight, not only into the grocery business, but into city government, too. And we look forward to spending time on a monthly basis with Richard McGinnis, who was named earlier this week as the council's new chair for the next year. Jane, thank you. Be safe.
All right. Thank you so much. Be safe yourself.
Jane Raybould joining me on Lincoln Live. Go to KFORnow.com. You'll see a podcast tab. Go there. You'll hear this conversation and other conversations from interesting people on Lincoln Live. I'm Dale Johnson.